point I'm trying to make, I think, is the church is not meant to be just another organization in, say, your life or in mine. It's an important event. It's an important thing in our lives. But neither is it meant to be a controlling organization. It's not meant, in fact, it often was in the past. And I'm not writing that off. Just as in the past, there were hopes who were more important than dreams in worldly glory, as we call it. Hopes who had more mistresses than dreams. There's a whole lot of baggage there if you want to go back on it. But it was, the church was in the marketplace in those days for the wrong reasons. It was there to triumph over a lot of the other agencies and groups that were there. And the church should be a spiritual agent. It should be an animator amongst all the people. All the people. I always envied Father Charles Foster. I envied him because he was very special, I think. He wasn't a controlling person. Would I be right in saying that? Neither of you are sure. I'm trying to contrast you at all. The very person had this habit of maybe quietly mentioning a need. He might say, sure, it would be grand now if we got something done there. And what he'd say, it was a delightful charm, slightly married to hopelessness or helplessness. Then he said, well, I couldn't do it. I'm too old or whatever. He said often things that weren't true, but he would say that I wouldn't be able for it. But that quietly inspired people. It quietly inspired people. And a number of things got done because he was saying he couldn't do them. But he was saying them at the same time, gently. As you know, won't you be glad now if you need this church or if you got it painted or whatever. He had lots of business projects that he floated them out rather than said, this is what you must do. And I think he's a lesson to me, certainly, that I had the other approach. I think that today now, what we do now is we start this and go at it. It's not always the way to do. I remember he was in hospital 2 years before he died, and he had been saying how, you know, the more he was kind of coming back in on himself, he wasn't way out as much, that he loved walking around the garden in that house in Benner, and it had got very stony and kind of hollows and hills in it. And he wasn't looking for anything, but he was just remarking it. And he went away to hospital, and while he was away, some people here in the parish, Tarmac Adams, whole thing. But he came back and he got a fierce kick out of it. That here were people who clearly had their ears attuned to a need he had kind of casually expressed with no hope of it ever being done or no intention of ever trying to do it. And then when he got sick and went away, they said he'd be at home now, he'd need a walk and he'd give him a nice step to walk on. And that was lovely. And it affected him very much, and he was saying he shouldn't have done it, and he did it. That's not to be annoyed, but in fact it was delightful. It was a lovely touch. And the community out of which a touch like that can come is a very inspired kind of community. And Jerry Purcell himself was part of the inspiration which would prompt people to do what I would consider very big things, very noble things, like Charm Academy, Garden. The church should never be narrow. It should never be narrow or be a competitor. We're not in the world to compete. We often measure things, we priests anyway, measure things by the number of people who come. And if the GAA or the soccer people can draw 500 people, but we can only draw 60 or 70 for something, we get a bit disappointed. But we're not there to be top of the list, to be more important than any other organization, because people have different needs. And the church isn't an easy one to belong to. But we are there, hopefully, to try and influence the other.